The ordinary council meeting for the City of Perth for the 17th of December 2019. I would ask now for the CEO to say the prayer.
Thanks, Chair. Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, CEO. I now would respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. It is a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar country. Before we proceed with the meeting, it's my very sad duty to inform those present that our previous chair commissioner and a close friend and colleague of many people in this room passed away yesterday after a brave battle with illness for some time. Eric was a committed professional, incredibly loyal and dedicated to the development of Perth, the development of Western Australia, and a fierce advocate for the strength and importance of local government. To recognise Eric, I propose now that we have 1 minute silence, please. Thank you. May he rest in peace. Now moving on to the business of the meeting. Do we have any apologies?
No, Chair Commissioner.
Okay. Question time for the public and notification of deputations. Firstly, CEO, do we have any questions from the floor?
Chair, my understanding is there's Brett Fleeton that would like to raise some questions.
Certainly. Mr. Fleeton, please come forward and state your name and address.
Thank you, Chair. Brent Fleeton, acting on behalf of the owner of City Forfeiture Investments, which is out on the Point 35 Riverside Drive.
Thank you.
I'm not going to give you a preamble. I know how precious your time is, and I'm certainly sure that you know what the issue is. So I just want to table these questions, which I have in writing, which you're able to give a response to either now, if possible, or at the next meeting.
Yep, let's hear them.
So, first of all, I would like to know if the city believes the situation in front of us is acceptable. Second question is, what are your proposed next steps to rectify the situation? What are you putting in place to ensure something like this doesn't happen again for other ratepayers? Are the city officers involved in this issue who caused the delay and error still employed by the city? If yes, in which departments? I just wanted to also clarify, despite pleas to not enter into a mediation on the 18th of December 2019, stating it was our intention to work this out by simple negotiation, I want to know who made the decision to engage Freehills on behalf of the city, keeping in mind they're not the independent arbiter, they are your lawyers. What reasons did the city feel that their own staff were ill-equipped to handle this issue? How much did the Freehills engagement cost the ratepayer? Did Freehills write the response sent by a city employee to myself on the 3rd of May 2019 with a counteroffer establishing a mechanism for access to the overflow car park? Did Freehills provide advice on which state government agency would be the right decision-making authority? If yes to that, which department did they state the city should consult with? If no to the above, which officers incorrectly pointed that the Department of Transport would be the main decision-maker for the overflow car park mechanism?
Thank you. We'll take those questions on notice. Okay, moving on. Are there any other questions from the public? Any deputations? Okay, we can move on to the leave of absence, applications for leave of absence. Commissioners? None? Confirmation of the minutes. Do I have a mover to receive and adopt the ordinary council meeting minutes of the 26th of November and the special council meeting minutes of the 4th of December?
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner McMath. Thank you, Commissioner Kosova. There being no opposition to those, we'll put them to the vote. All those in favour, thank you. 3-0 carried. Okay, announcements by the Chair Commissioner. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, everyone. It's been a very interesting and exciting year. I guess made a little bit sad by Eric leaving us yesterday, but I really look forward to next year, what it's going to bring for us in terms of opportunity, and I imagine a new Lord Mayor and councillors. So let's wait and see. Thank you. Okay, disclosure of members' interests.
No.
Thank you. No, and none for me either. No questions of notice. There's no correspondence. No petitions. Matters for which the meeting may be closed. There are three relating to confidential items 13.17, 13.18 and 13.19. Commissioners, I understand that we will be going behind closed doors for item 13.17. Thank you. Okay, so we'll stand prepared for that. On that basis, now we move on to the business of the evening, and I'd like to remove 13.1, 13.8, 13.13, 13.17, and 13.18 for discussion, and therefore I would seek a mover and seconder to receive and adopt the following items on block: 13.2, 13.3, 13.4, 13.5, 13.6, 13.7, 13.9, 13.10, 13.11, 13.12, 13.14, 13.15, 13.16, and 13.19.
Apologies through you, Chair, Commissioner. I sent my request through late and you might not have seen it, but can I also request we deal separately with item 13.14?
Certainly. So 13.14, if we can exclude that matter as well and just exclude that from the on-block recommendation. And do I have a mover? Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner McMath. Nobody in opposition, can I please put the vote, all those in favour, carry 3-0. Moving now on to the first item for discussion, it's item 13.1, which is the change of use application relative to number 4, lot 5, Brown Street, East Perth. Over to you, Commissioners.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I was interested in understanding the nature of the depositions that were made at the last agenda briefing session, if it would be possible to be informed by those.
Yes, Commissioner, we received a deputation from Ben McCarthy and Ben Widdowson from Ouserman Proprietary Limited, and we also, which was in support of the proposal, and we also received depositions from members of the East Perth Community Group who were opposed to the development, very much on the grounds that were contained within the officer's report.
Thank you, Chair.
These two are here today.
And Commissioner, we will, and Mr. McCarthy and Mr. Whittison are in the audience today. Yeah. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you. Okay, so from there on, do we have a mover or alternative, please?
Do you want to receive the deputation?
Sorry?
Do you want to receive?
I haven't had a receipt.
These two have requested a deputation.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Please come forward with your deputation.
That shouldn't be with the meeting.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. Thanks for having us this evening, Commissioners. Much appreciated. Just get this going.
All right.
Hopefully you can hear us.
Okay, so Ben and I are the owners and the proprietors and the proponents for the proposal. That's a lot of P's. So simply put, the offering is really a versatile, flexible space for the community. The current situation is the space, Unit 5, number 2 Brown Street, East Perth, is unoccupied, unusable in its current condition. It's the former gym that you might be familiar with. What was its name? So as the owners, we've invested in this property. We're committed to investing in the area, renovating and beautifying the space and adding definitely to the urban fabric of East Perth. The intent, in addition to obviously the improvements to the property, is for the space to become an incubator, a facilitator and a springboard for small businesses and startups by offering short-term pop-up space hires for users. The space would be available on an hourly, half-day or whole-day basis. And some of the uses may include workshops, teaching cultural events. It's a space for incubator studios, business development, artist cultivation. I might add that Almerson PTY Ltd has had substantial experience in managing and running art galleries, including Yelling Up Art Gallery and Gallows Gallery in Mosman Park. We'd love to be able to run the occasional fashion show, art exhibition, and as I said, pop-up gallery. It's a space, it's a very small space. It's under the roof, it's 409 square metres. Once you take the amenities out, it's about less than 300 square metres. So it's not a large space. We would like to be able to run private and bespoke and exclusive events, things such as private and small dining experiences. Obviously, East Perth, with its medium density environment, these types of spaces we've found quite popular. People that want to be able to have their own exclusive dining room, not necessarily a restaurant, and they may not be able to host a dinner party in the confines of their East Perth home. We'd love to be able to host art classes, poetry reading, photographic studio type events in there, exhibitions, product displays, product promotions and launches, and from our research, there's actually significant demand for corporate space hire in the current environment. The typical lobby of a hotel is one type of space at the moment. What's on trend is this type of functional, industrial, versatile space that only East Perth and its local heritage has to offer in the surrounds. So this type of place is suitable for off-site meetings, presentations and small-scale networking type experiences. It's certainly not large parties or anything like, I suppose, perhaps some of the other community members are worried about. And then in addition to that, it's obviously a suitable space. We're looking to activate this space as much as we can through mornings all the way through evening to maximise revenue. So health, fitness, wellness, yoga, Pilates, meditation classes and things like Tai Chi are obvious target areas. The proposal itself is an interesting one because it kind of straddles across two or three land use categories. The intended primary use on its own that we believe it falls under is culture and creative industry, and also even perhaps the current community land use, and to a lesser degree the dining and entertainment land use. That was the dining and entertainment land use is an interesting one. We didn't nominate it originally. The City of Perth Statutory Planning Officers did. When we first approached them about our proposal, we were very encouraged, very well supported, and it was suggested that, based on the uses that we've just described, that would be a supported land use that we should be looking at. The actual development application itself doesn't actually call for approval under dining and entertainment. So the proposed improvements that we would see to this unoccupied space An underutilised space is full noise and fire insulated walls, upgraded front windows to help mitigate any noise, a whole bunch of different surface treatments, overhead lighting, renovated toilets and basic kitchen facilities. And we believe there's over $200,000 of further work that we would be looking to put into it. If it's okay with you, we've obviously read the planning officer's recommendation for refusal, and as I said, we were originally quite encouraged by what we were proposing, and to see the recommendation for refusal was nothing but disappointing. And I'd like to be able to just go through each of the points of the recommendation.
Sir, that's not appropriate. The commissioners need to assess this application upon its planning merit. And not on a deposition from a proponent. So I think you've made it very clear that the you're unhappy with the recommendation and you believe that the matter should be approved, but it is not appropriate to go and dissect a planning officer's report at this time, acknowledging that this report was released at least a week ago and was available publicly, and any matter of concern could have been addressed directly through the CEO at that time.
Understood. The only comment I would like to make in that respect then is that the recommendation for refusal is, on our opinion, subjective. Yes. The land use proposed is contemplated by the scheme, and we believe that we have provided substantial information to demonstrate the appropriate management in accordance with the concerns that have been raised. We've, on a number of occasions, requested further information as to why it's not been supported, and we've never seen any tangible information presented to us. Any time there's been any request for additional information, we've done so. Okay. An example of that is the noise, the acoustic assessment, and the acoustic assessment is very clear in its conclusions. And the conclusions are that the proposal can be operated in accordance with noise regs, and I'm not yet fully understanding as to why the planning officer is not supporting that when there is a engineering report, a fully qualified engineer has made that recommendation that the proposal can actually operate within the confines of the noise regs. And the noise regs are very black and white. You either comply or you don't. That's our risk. We understand that.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Commissioners.
Thank you. Commissioners, do I have a mover for this?
I'm happy to move for the sake of discussion.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Seconded.
Thank you. Over to you, Commissioner Cassava.
Well, thank you, Chair Commissioner. I take on board the proponent's sentiments surrounding this item. I entirely understand that the land use and the manner of, or the nature of the proposal is indeed contemplated by the scheme in this particular area. And also, I accept, being a planner myself, the subjectivity of some of the assessment that goes into these matters. The point that I would raise, though, is that there is probably an opportunity here for the proponents to have a little bit of trial and error and to experiment in some respects. There's sufficient entitlement under the planning legislation for short-term uses. I'm not sure from reading the report if this site has ever been put to a shorter-term use, and that might be an opportunity to put a toe in the water, so to speak, and to test the sympathetic nature or not of how this use might integrate with surrounding more sensitive land uses in the area. I do accept that it's not intended to be a pure residential precinct, and for that purpose the use is actually contemplated. Although on the basis of the information that we have before us and the officer report and the assessment, considering the submissions that we received during advertising, my position would be to accept the officer recommendation.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner McMahon.
Thank you, Chair. Further to the previous comments, I'm torn between the activation of the space around culture and arts and activation versus the utilisation of the space with respect to dining and entertainment, with up to 200 potential patrons being in the area. It seems quite a broad range of options, some which intuitively I would think would have low impact and others which potentially have very high impact on the amenity. For that reason, I am of the mind to also support the officer's recommendation in refusing the application.
Okay, thank you. Could I just seek some clarification through you, CEO? Through Mr. Smith, I guess, the original application, according to the proponent, was limited to culture and creative industry, and it was suggested by the staff that dining and entertainment be added on as a land use. Is that correct?
Thank you, Chair Commissioner. I wasn't involved in any pre-lodgement meetings, so I can't confirm one way or the other in regard to that. But certainly the applicant's reference to using it for small dining and potential function uses does fall into that category. But I wasn't present at the meetings to know whether that came from the officers or was an idea brought about through the applicants themselves.
Would it be fair to say that the dining and entertainment land use is the one that is the most threatening to the amenity of the surrounding area?
Yes, I would think so. Large functions and so forth would be of most concern to residents, whereas a quiet photo shoot or a training session during the day I wouldn't think would have quite the impact.
Okay, I am concerned that if on the basis that if an application was made for culture and creative industry, which would have limited impact on the amenity of the area, was made, it was then suggested by the staff that dining and entertainment be included, and then the matter was recommended to be refused based upon the land use that was suggested by the staff member in the first place. I don't know that that's necessarily that fair. And I just wonder in the for the benefit of all concerned that we sought to clarify that prior to making any decision for refusal, because once it's refused, it's refused, and there's quite an expensive SAT process involved. Would it be feasible to defer this matter and perhaps even reconsider the application based only upon the culture and creative industry and not the dining and entertainment?
Yes, that's certainly feasible, and we could further discuss and refine the range of uses that the applicant really wants to pursue.
Yeah. Commissioners, I'm sorry to do that at the last minute, but I think the proponents deserve that clarification. I'd suggest a procedural motion that we move to defer this matter until the January council meeting to clarify matters relating to the proposed land use that was applied for and the ultimate land use that was considered. Would anybody be prepared to second that?
Yes, I'm happy to do so.
Thank you. Commissioner McMath, do you have any views on that?
I'd be more comfortable with that resolution at this evening's meeting, Chair, as a result of the opinion I expressed prior to a lack of clarification as to how this space will actually be used and therefore an inability to assess its impact on the amenity surrounding. So thank you for that suggestion, which I'm happy to support.
Okay, on that basis then I'd put that deferral motion. Those in favour? Thank you. Motion is carried. Matter will be considered at the January Council meeting. Gentlemen, I'd really suggest that you liaise closely with our city staff And because I can assure you, whenever they can, they will try and approve things. Okay, so I think it's a matter of finding a solution that can keep everybody happy, but including the community that has some concerns. Thank you. Okay, moving on to the next item for discussion by the commissioners. It is 13.8, the Rose Street Enhancement Final Master Plan 2019, page 136. I'd like to move that motion that we... Where is it? Oh, God, I've just hit page 425. Well, don't know what happened there. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Here we go. Rose Street Enhancement... And I'd like to move the recommendations 1 and 2. And I'd also like to commend the staff that have been involved with this project. It is a game changer for Rose Street. It's something we've been dealing with for many, many years, and I just can't wait for the works to start. So well done to all those concerned. Do I have a seconder, please?
Seconded.
Thank you. I've spoken enough. Commissioner McMath, would you like to say anything?
Thank you very much, Chair. I too would like to add my thanks to all the staff involved. I think that with the development of Yagan Square and the Perth Cultural Centre, that the importance of this master plan, both in the approval and the enactment, will be very, very important to the contiguous flow of the city across through to the Rose Street area. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Do I have any opposition to the motion? Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Item is carried 3-0. Thank you, Commissioners. Moving on now to item 13.13, which is the CEO recruitment process. I actually listed this one not so much for discussion, but for reasons of transparency. The appointment of a CEO is an incredibly important task, probably the most important task that the commissioners would undertake. As Chair Commissioner, I am satisfied with the process, and I look forward to a really good outcome, not only for the community but for our staff. And it's our role to provide them with good leadership and inspiration. So on that basis, could I please have a mover for that motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner McMath. I have a seconder. Thank you, Commissioner Kosova. Obviously, there's no opposition to that. I really look forward to the process, so I put the motion. Those in favour? Thank you. Motion is carried 3-0. Moving on now to item 13.14, which is the annual report and audited financial statements. Commissioner Kosova.
Thank you, Chair Commissioner. I requested that this item be discussed separately because it might be the one and only annual report to be endorsed at this time of the year or the city's life cycle by commissioners. And for the avoidance of humility and underselling the accomplishments of the CEO, yourself, Chair Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner McMath, and also previous Chair Commissioner Eric Lumsden, I thought it was worth extracting this item for separate consideration, purely to just shine a light on the body of work that has occurred over the last financial year. It is absolutely significant. And I think the officer report provides a very good summary of just some of those many accomplishments. But as anyone who's familiar with local government and a business of this scale understands, that this annual report scratches the surface on highlighting what some of the more substantial and more visible achievements and outcomes have been, which the city has generated over the last financial year, but there are many, many more that have been delivered by staff at all layers of the organisation. So I would simply like to commend the annual report and the audited financials. I think it's a tremendous financial turnaround and the position that we now find ourselves in compared with what I'm sure the CEO and commissioners found themselves in when they first embarked on this journey. And congratulate everyone who's played such a big part in getting the job done over the last financial year.
Thank you, Commissioner. Most appropriate words. So you're moving in that regard. Do I have a seconder, please?
Seconded.
Thank you, Commissioner McMath. So I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Motion is carried 3-0. Thank you, Commissioners. Now moving on to our next item for discussion. It is 13.17, the electricity supply agreement for the City of Perth. Given that we'll be discussing these matters relating to matters of commercial importance and significance, I seek a mover that we go behind closed doors. Thank you, Commissioner Kosova.
Seconded.
Thank you, Commissioner McMath. That we move behind closed doors. All those in favour? Motion is carried. Could I please ask that the gallery be cleared? Thank you. For those who have returned, in accordance with standing orders, I advise that the motions that were carried behind closed doors are as follows. The first one was that Council accepts the electricity supply agreement by Alinta for its contestable electricity accounts for a 3-year term commencing 1st of January 2020 and concluding 31st of December 2022, subject to the use of at least 25% green energy being addressed to the satisfaction of the Chief Executive Officer. And the second motion was that we move out from behind closed doors. So here we sit. Okay, shall we now move on to the next item for discussion on the agenda, and the final one, 13.18 on page 465, the Wellington Square enhancement. I'd like to move that motion, and the reason that I had this raised as a matter to discuss, I wanted to acknowledge the efforts of the staff in bringing what is a complex tender and a major project. In fact, I think a signature project for the City of Perth in the context of major capital works, and I really, really look forward to the works commencing. So I'd like to move as recommended. Commissioner?
Through you, Chair Commissioner, happy to second that, and also just commend the commissioners and staff for their efforts in looking at that accelerated program and yielding cost savings for the city.
Thank you. Commissioner, do we have any further comment? If not, I'd like to put the motion. Those in favour? Motion is carried 3-0. Moving back to the main part of the agenda. Motions of which previous notice has been given, nil. Urgent business.
19 was dealt with on block.
19 was dealt with on block. So, motions of which previous notice have been given, nil. Urgent business, nil. So, in saying that, I declare the meeting for December closed. Wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and truly look forward to an exciting 2020. Thank you all.